Okay, so the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, the Gemara says that tefillah is something which is considered otherworldly. It's considered something which is transcendental in a certain way. It's min hadvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. It's something that really is very special, but regrettably, says the Gemara, b'nei adam mizalzalim bo. People really do not take tefillah as seriously as they should. People take it lightly. They treat it as a mundane or a casual part of life. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about it today, because this week's Parsha, Parshas Va'eschanan El Hashem, is all about Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah and the intensity and the severity of the tefillah that he offered. So listen to an incredible passage of the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Tana Devei Eliyahu, written by Eliyahu HaNavi, tells us the following. Kishaba Sancheirev vihikif es Yerushalayim. When Sancheirev came and he laid siege on Yerushalayim and he wanted to destroy it, Amar Chizkiah betfila lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chizkiah at the time wanted that Yerushalayim should be saved. He didn't want Yerushalayim to be destroyed. So he gets up and he begins to offer a tefila. V'nireh ka'adam hamedaber im chaveru. Says the Gemara, Chizkiah at the time that he was offering this tefila that Yerushalayim should be saved, looked like somebody who was having a casual conversation with his friend. That's what the Gemara tells us. That's what Tana Devei Eliyahu tells us. Nacha alav ruach elokim al Yeshaya hanavi va'amar lo. A Ruach Elokim, a divine spirit, a revelation, comes to Yeshaya HaNavi, who lived at the same time, and informs him of the following. Adam shemedaber lefnei mi shegadol mimenu basar v'dam. If you speak to someone who is greater than you, who's a human being, let's say, I once got a ticket. I was petrified. It was a ticket for speeding, whatever, no big deal. But I had to go to court. And I was petrified. What am I so afraid of? So what's the big deal? Worst comes to worst, I'll lose. So why am I so scared to stand in front of the judge? Because that's the way it is. When we speak in front of someone who's godly men, who's someone who's more authoritative than we are, we have nerves. We get nervous about it. So he says to Yeshaya HaNavi, somebody who goes to speak to a bas of Adam who's greater than they are, who has more authority and power than they have, Martia kol gufo umizdazin evarav. My whole body begins to quiver. My whole body begins to tremble. Hamadaber lefnei melech malchei amlechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama vekama. Certainly someone who's speaking with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with God Himself, certainly you have to speak be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, uvizia. Certainly you have to speak with fear, with apprehension, with a certain sense of reverence, with a certain sense of deference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Fikach says, Eliyahu HaNavi, and because Chizkiah HaMelech, at the time that he was trying to daven, that Yerushalayim should be saved, was talking in a way which was a casual kind of way, a casual conversation, the Fikach says, Eliyahu HaNavi, Chala Chizkiah Choli Gadol. Chizkiyo got very sick because of that as a punishment. Shenemar, Bayamim Ayim Chala Chizkiyahu Lamas. It was in those days, and Chizkiyahu began to get sick, and that is ultimately what he died from. So you see that tefillah is not something that we're supposed to be treating as a casual part of life. Tefillah is something that even Chizkiyo HaMelech, the great tzaddik, makes a big mistake. He forgets that tefillah is something he's supposed to be taking very seriously, and this is something that ultimately made him lose his life. Eliyahu HaNavi warns us about the proper attitude, the proper perspective that we're meant to have as we approach tefillah each and every day. There's a story told about the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav, who lived in the end of the 1700s into the mid-1800s. So they say a story about him that he used to go into his private room every time before they began to daven in the big base medrash. Before all the Hasidim began to daven, he used to go have some private time by himself. And he later explained to the Hasidim, who were very curious to know what exactly was he doing in the room, he said that before I get up and daven any tefillah, before I have a encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with God Himself, every time I always offer a precursory tefillah. And what is that? In order to get myself in the mood, in order to get into the rhythm of davening, what do? I say the following, Yihi Ratzon, may it be your will, She'ezke lechavein b'tefilasi. May it be your will. This was the tefillah that he offered before his tefillah. May it be your will, she'ezke lekaven b'tfilasi, that I will truly value and appreciate and have kavana and be able to understand the tefillah that I'm about to say, ulaharich es kocho hagadola. May it be your will that I have the ability to absorb the unbelievable and extraordinary power, the indescribable power that tefillah has. That's what the sons are of, that's what the Divrei Chaim used to say every time before he began to daven, because he said, so often we get involved in tefillah, and tefillah is so powerful and something that we don't spend enough time thinking about the potency and the effectiveness of what a tefillah can be and what it can accomplish. And that's why the Divrei Chaim felt it was important for himself to set aside time before davening to make sure that he was able to have the proper kavanah, to have the right thoughts as he was going about his tefillah and asking for all the incredible needs that his community was a need up. So Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha wants nothing more than to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ve'eschanan al Hashem, we're told, ve'eschanan is begematria 515, which means that he offers 515 tefillos, 515 supplications, in order that he should be allowed entry and access into Eretz Yisrael. Until the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Rav Lach, stop, I don't want you to daven anymore. I'm not going to allow you to offer this tefillah anymore. Why? Because the understanding is, had Moshe Rabbeinu offered one more tefillah, it actually would have worked. It actually would have worked, which means that even though the Ribbono Shel Olam, God himself, the plan was that I'm not allowing Moshe Rabbeinu to come into the land, and I'm not going to let him have access into Eretz Yisrael, and that was his punishment. Had Moshe Rabbeinu offered only one more tefillah than the 515 that he did, he actually would have gotten in. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam has to come and stop him and say, I'm not going to allow you to offer that one last tefillah, because if you would, you would be able to change my mind, you would be able to get exactly what you ultimately want. Chazal tell us that there are three places in the Torah where the Torah uses the phrase, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And in all three of these places, the understanding is that they all mean the same thing. What are the three places? So the first time is in the lifetime of Noach, by the Mabul. It says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, Mabul comes. The second time is on the day, So what happened by the time of Noach? Let's talk about that. By the time of Noach, it was a day when there were a lot of adversaries, there were a lot of people who were critics of Noach. They weren't so keen, they weren't so fond of this idea of a Mabul coming to the world and him being the only one saved. So they were making fun of him. So they all got together. They're going to make a human blockade that Noach won't be able to go into the Teva, and we will hold him back from entering the Teva. How can he get by if we're going to make a big blockade in front of the big ark that he built? So that's what they decided to do. And God responds to all of them, and he says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. I'm going to bring the Mabul, I'm going to allow Noach to go straight into the Teva in broad daylight, right in front of all of your eyes, right in front of all of you. You're not going to be able to stop him. I'm going to show all of you who's really in charge. And it doesn't matter that naturally you can generally try and stop people from doing things by human blockades. This time God says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, I'm going to do it against all natural odds. You're not going to have the ability, I'm going to suspend your ability to stop him from going in. That's the first time that Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is used. The second time Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is used in Chumash is where? By Yetzias Mitzrayim. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, what happens? So the Mitzrayim know that the Jews are about to go out, and they know that the Jews are never coming back, so they begin to galvanize an army, and each soldier is laden with heavy artillery, and everyone's ready to go and destroy the Jewish people. They bring out the most elite infantry squad, and they're ready to go, but God once again comes along and says, I have decided that it's time to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and therefore, I'm going to do it, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to do it in broad daylight. You can try and stop me in all the ways that you want, but against all natural odds, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, I am going to make sure that this happens, because all human effort to get in the way and to prevent this from happening are not going to help. God will show that the mass exodus is upon us, and now it's time for the Jews to leave Mitzrayim. Those are the first two times that Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is used. The third is in Sefer Dvarim, where we have the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. God says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the middle of broad daylight, I'm going to come and take away the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to kill him. And he's no longer going to be the leader of the Jewish people, which means that no human effort is going to be able to stop me from taking the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, certainly sounds very interesting, but it doesn't really flow in the sequence. The first two stories, the story of Noach and the Teva and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, over there I understand. There's a possibility for a human being to intervene and to get in the way, to interfere and say, we're not going to allow Noach to go into the Teva. We're not going to allow the Jews to leave Mitzrayim. And God has to say, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, I'm going to make it happen anyway. Even if you don't want it to, I'm going to make it happen regardless. So in those cases, I understand why the word Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is used. God is proving a point that the human beings cannot have any power when he decides to do something. But what exactly does it mean by the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu? God says, I'm going to take the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though you don't want me to, even though you're going to stop me, I'm going to suspend your ability to stop me because Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, I'm going to do it anyway. What does that mean? What could possibly have been done to save the life of Moshe Rabbeinu? If God decides it's time for somebody to leave the world, if God decides that this is all they have left and there's no longer a possibility of them continuing on in life, then what can a human being do to stop that from happening? So Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel once suggested that perhaps the idea is, I think he said that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said this, that the one and only thing that they could do to actually abort, to stop the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God Himself, is had they stood up and davened. Had they only understood the incredible and unparalleled potency of davening, of tefillah, that is the same as making a human blockade in front of a teva, that is the same as sending out a mighty army to make sure the Jews don't leave Mitzrayim. Had the whole Jewish people rallied behind Moshe Rabbeinu in tefillah, he actually never would have died. He never would have died. And I later saw that the Medrash writes this way. There's a Medrash in Devarim Rabbah where the Medrash says as follows. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Yitzchak. Kivin shanata Moshe lamus, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to leave this world, when he was about to die, v'lo bikshu alav rachamim sheikanes la'aretz, and the Jewish people are just sitting by, and nobody's asking God for mercy that Moshe Rabbeinu should be allowed entry and access into Eretz Yisrael. Everyone's just ignoring the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's request is denied. Kanas osan, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers in the Jewish people, v'hischil mochichan, and he begins to give them incredible musar. Why? Amar lei. Echad pada shishim ribo be'egel. I was one person, and I was able to get you out of the problem. 600,000 people, millions of Jews. 600,000 is only between a certain age, but there were millions of Jews there, men, women, and children. There were millions of Jews who fell in with the egel, and I, Moshe Rabbeinu, alone was able to save all of you. And you, v'shishim ribo, lo hayu yocholon liftos adam echad. All of you put together couldn't figure out how to save me. Here I am, I'm going to lose my life because nobody was willing to step forward. Nobody was willing to do anything. And it's because Moshe Rabbeinu understood what the power of a communal tefillah is. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Gemara teaches us, that Chazal say, that God will never reject or dismiss the tefillahs harabim. When you have an appeal, a meaningful prayer that the rabbim offers, that the tefillah is given by the entire community, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes B'Tfilasam Shal Rabbim, says the Gemara. God will never turn a blind eye to something like that. And that's why at the end of his life, Moshe takes great criticism and he blames the Jewish people why his death came about. Had you only stood up in prayer, I never would have died, Moshe Rabbeinu says. But it's only because you're not taking it seriously enough, because you don't even realize the potential that's latent inside of you to offer a tefillah, and God would never turn it away. And that's why this is the third place that Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh is used, because over here as well, the same way God suspended the ability of the people in the times of Noach from blockading him from going into the Teva, the same way God suspended the ability of the Mitzrayim from stopping the Jews to leave Mitzrayim, so too in our parsha, God suspends the ability of the Jewish people to daven. Because had we davened, had we only been able to do what we were supposed to do, the davening would have worked. The tefillah would have worked. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes B'Tfilasan Shel Rabim. We would have had the incredible opportunity to get Moshe Rabbeinu to have more years in his life and to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Listen to an incredible Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash writes in Parshas Vayera. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God tells the Jewish people, have his reason b'tfilah, you should be careful in the davening, in the tefillah. She'ein lecha mida acheres yafa heimena, because there is nothing that is more sacred, there is nothing that is more important than tefillah itself. Even if I am not on the level where I deserve the mercy and the kindness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what have I done in my life? Why should God pay me back? For what? What am I doing that's so worthy of having His mercy? Says the Medrash, Kiven shemispalel umarbe tachanunim ani osa chesed imo. Even if a person is not worthy, but if they take the tefillah seriously, if they're willing to be marbe tachanunim, says the Medrash, if they're willing to realize and recognize what they're in the middle of doing, the experience that they're having while they go through the tefillah, I will do chesed with them, even though they may not be deserving at all. And this is what the Gemara says in Brachas, Gedola tefillah yoser min akarbanos. Tefillah is considered something that is more sanctified, that is more holy than the karbanos themselves. The Shalal explains, why is it that tefillah is considered on a higher level than karbanos? Hi, karbanos are in the Beis Hamikdash, tefillah is just over here, so why should we have that? So the Shalal gives a whole bunch of reasons. He says, number one, over here we don't need an intermediary. By a karban, we need that a kohen should offer the karban on our behalf. Over here, we can talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we can have the relationship with him on our own, alone. Secondly, he writes, when you have a karban, that can only be offered in the Beis Hamikdash. Over here, we can offer a tefillah, b'chal makam asher azkir eshemi, avo elecha ve'rachticha. Wherever my name is going to be mentioned, wherever people are going to pour out their hearts in tefillah, I will be there and I will listen, God says. And Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes b'tefillasan shel rabim. And that, says the Shalal, is the reason why there is an incredible power given to tefillah. a bunch of other differences that he gives between Karbanos and Tefillah, but basically on the Parsha of Parshas Va'eschanan, it's something to consider, something to think about. The Tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu were something that taught us that yes, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it means that if a person has something that they sincerely want, and they are willing to go and supplicate in a Tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam for that desire, for that want that they have, they can actually change the will of God. They can change it in a meaningful way and bring about something that originally was not the plan. God decided on Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to have X, Y, and Z this year. If you go ahead and daven properly, the Ribbono Shel Olam can come and change everything that was the original plan. And that should have been the case by the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. But over there, that was the exception. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, God suspended the ability of the Jewish people. But otherwise, they would have, in fact, been able to stop the plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam not to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael. It gives us a perspective, a little bit, of what Tefillah really is. And to think also about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that because he took Tefillah in a casual way, because he wasn't serious about the Tefillah that he was offering, unfortunately he was Chala Choli V'Nata Lamas. That's why he ultimately lost his life. Yeshaya HaNabi tells him, because he wasn't taking it in a serious way, that's why God was angry with him and ended up taking away his life and not allowing him to continue in his incredible leadership.